What are we doing?
I don't know, mate.
That kid is
superstar in the making. Like, the play's already gone, just please.
Just put your flag up.
Yeah, but what are you, mate?
I mean, I am a wanker.
You're listening to the Circling Rectangle Show, Australia's finest A-Leagues podcast.
G'day, g'day. Welcome back to the Circling Rectangle Show for week two of the Hyundai A-League. I am introing it because as we speak, my co-host Nugget is yawning. Perfect timing for that yawn, Nugget. How you doing?
Grub, and two, Hyundai A-League?
Oh, did I say the Hyundai A-League? Oh, God, I meant
that. Oh, my God. It hasn't been the Hyundai A-League in about 12 years, yeah, fucking senile
just,
old man.
It's stuck in my mind, man. The Isuzu Ute Men's A-Leagues. A-League Men's, however we pronounce it.
The Isuzu Ute A-League Men's Competition. Yes. Round two wrapped up over the weekend. Yep. Sorry, I was yawning. It's very late.
I had to take over here. Look at my unprofessionalism, Blake.
You are an absolute clown. But yeah, look, we're back again. Hello again. Jamie, how are you?
Pretty good. Good week of action.
Besides being senile.
Yeah, getting older every day. So yeah, no, pretty good. Yep. Very, very excited. It's so good having football back, man.
It's so good having football back. A-League Men's has been an unreal start to the season. And look, at the end of the show, we're going to preview the A-League Women's, which kicks off this week as well. Yeah. But it's a good weekend of football.
Yep, plenty of good action, good results.
Plenty of good action, very good games of football. Very angry man was Nugget, very angry at the result of that game. But look, I'll tell you what, I think we should get into the results.
Yep.
The results are in.
And the A-League Men's Round 2 kicked off Friday night with Western United at home to Perth Glory. Perth Glory without star import Daniel Sturridge, but I don't think he would have made the difference as Western United looked too strong to get up a 1-0 victory over Perth Glory. Dylan Wenzel-Hall's opening his account for his new club. What do you think?
Probably shouldn't have been a goal, let's be honest.
I absolutely agree with you on that one.
But I think like Western United were probably the better team. Diamante had that cheeky try and a chip at Brad Jones from a long way out. They looked the better team playing at one of their many home grounds. But really, it shouldn't have been a goal. It should have been a draw. But the result was probably fair. Western United probably deserved the win, but
yeah,
very controversial.
I agree with you that. Yeah, controversial circumstances. The ball was clearly out.
Yep. about an inch.
But we'll get into that a little bit later in some hot topics. But Wenzel-Hall's opening his account for his new side, getting a 1-0 win for Western United over Perth Glory. Before we move on to the three Saturday fixtures, the early kickoff saw Wellington Phoenix at home in Wollongong, the Wollongong Phoenix 2, defeating Nick Montgomery's Central Coast Mariners 1. This is a very entertaining game of football as well.
Yeah, Mariners are good to watch again this year. Like, I was kind of thinking, I mean, we obviously love Nick Montgomery here, but you lose Stajic, you lose some really good players like Alu Kuo. I was wondering what the Mariners were going to look like, but they're entertaining. He'd be very unimpressed with the way they defended for the two goals, but you know, they looked really good. Wellington looked like they're going to be a really good team. Gary Hooper, we said at the start of the year in our previous show.
Gary Hooper banging in goals.
Yeah, if he can score goals, Wellington Phoenix are going to be good. And he's scoring goals 2 from 2 now. But entertaining game from the Wollongong Phoenix. And the Mariners.
Very good.
Looking forward to Mariners.
And the Mariners, yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I think I may have sold the Wellington Phoenix short this year. But look.
So far.
Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong, which is good. I like being proved wrong. An entertaining game of football with Wellington getting the bickies over Central Coast. So, yeah, as you said, disappointing defensively in two instances for Central Coast Mariners, which cost them the game. But then Mark Birighetti keeping them in it as well, saving a penalty from
Ben Wayne.
Wayne there.
Yeah.
Yep. But we go on to the Saturday night doubleheader. The simultaneous kickoffs saw Adelaide United play host to champions Melbourne City, and it was an enthralling 2-2 draw. Tell you what, Melbourne City struggled to get a victory over Brisbane Roar and then losing a 2-goal lead to share the points with Adelaide United. This could be a long season for Melbourne City.
Yeah, they looked good, but again, defensively, just... I mean, Adelaide are a good team. They got really good players. But defensively, Melbourne City looked really weak, really vulnerable. We talk about the front three and their midfield with Metcalf there, but... I mean, go up 2-0, get a lead again. And I mean, Brisbane almost pegged them back. This week, Adelaide do peg them back. Paddy Kisnorbo's got a bit of an issue there in the defense. He's got to sort of shore that up because you don't have to worry about the attack. Those three up front, Lecky, Naboo, and McLaren, are going to score goals. McLaren gets his first goal after four games. What a drought that was for him. Believe he recovered.
Naboo also on the score sheet with a very nice finish. But who was it? pegged them back. It was, Stephen in Mork. Fact, Stephen Mork.
But that was Yenge.
Classic Stephen Mork getting in.
What about Yenge's work for that goal, but
yeah,
just
absolutely.
Dribbling past everyone and just belting it into the post and Johnny on the spot, Stephen Mork
Johnny on the spot, yep. But Ben Haller in the 90th minute.
The balls on that man.
Oh,
terrible defending. What the hell was happening?
Terrible defending. The goalkeeper plays it to his left back, who plays it to his goalkeeper, who plays it to his left back, who loses it, and then the goalkeeper gets chipped by Ben Halloran from 30 yards.
Ben Halloran, just cool as you like. Just a beautiful
cheeky.
Chip. Yeah.
Cheeky.
Knew it as well. You look at his face from the back angle of the goal. As soon as it goes over, all he was worried about is it going to drop. And it was pretty clear early. It didn't even
look like missing.
No, it bounced just over the line. So, man, the balls on that man to tie a game up in the 90th.
Yeah, absolutely. But then... Yeah, so 2-2 draw between Adelaide United and Melbourne City, and the other 7 o'clock kickoff or 7:45 kickoff, I believe it was.
We don't need to worry about this one. We just move on.
No, you shut your mouth. Sydney FC playing at home to the inconvenience of MacArthur FC, and MacArthur FC coming away with a 1-0 victory. Fun stat from this particular fixture between these two clubs: the home side has never scored a goal.
Yep, I was there last year when we lost 1-0 to MacArthur Bulls, and I was watching it from the Bavarian this year as we lost 1-0 to the MacArthur Bulls. I mean, we kind of talked about it beforehand. Sydney FC were probably the better team, deserved to win, but you don't take your chances. And Philip Curto, being the phenomenal goalkeeper that he is, and we lose, and it doesn't look good. We'll touch on it in Hot Topics, but we don't look good this year. Benny wrote a really good blog for fanbablesports.com about it, and you know, we kind of both agree with him, and I think every Sydney FC fan would be lying if they hadn't been thinking the exact same thing that he wrote. So, yeah, credit to the inconvenience. I saw a lot of their fans referring to a derby win. Nobody recognizes it as a derby win.
It's
an inconvenience victory, I guess you could call it. But, you know, it's not a derby.
Yeah, it's not a derby.
No one recognizes it as a derby.
Sydney FC don't. The thing is, the Cove don't hate the bullpen.
No, we don't recognize them.
No,
the
Cove
guys.
Hate the RVB, and the RVB hate the Cove.
Yeah, I mean, it's 13 guys that travel out from Campbelltown on the trains. Like, it's, you are irrelevant to us. The RVB, on the other hand, there is a
very relevant.
Fierce hate, and you know, the North Terrace Blue and White Brigade Melbourne Victory fans. That's a hatred. But yeah, you guys.
Yeah.
What have you done?
No one cares about the bullpen. Yeah. Even I don't recognize it. But yeah, look, MacArthur FC coming away with a 1-0 victory. Lockie Rose on the score sheet again.
God damn it!
I think that's. What, 4 goals in 3 games for Lockie Rose, including a double in the FFA Cup, scoring last week against Wellington Phoenix, and now this week against Sydney FC. He was an interesting player off the bench last year. I used to call him just fast, and that was about it.
Yep.
Now he's starting up front for MacArthur FC and scoring goals, which is what you ask for a striker, but
I mean, enjoy.
It is what it is. Did you know he played in NPL 2 2 years ago?
Yeah, I didn't know NPL 2. I knew he played for Sydney United with Michael Roos, another MacArthur player, but I didn't know he was in NPL 2 2 years ago.
No, NPL 2, mate. They scabbed him from NPL 2. Can you imagine that?
And now he is scoring goals against the pride of the league, Sydney FC. So,
you mean Wellington.
Let's just be honest. Last week's goal, stroke of luck. Swing a foot out of it. It happens to go through 13 players and goes in the net. This time, misread the pass, thought it was going back post, happens to take a deflection, and he just happens to be there. So, you know. It's not like he's doing phenomenal play like some of the goals that your Wanderers have scored. It's just joining on the spot.
It's I know it disappoints you, but
it
sometimes
really does.
You have to be there.
Him scoring.
You have to be.
Why was it him? Like Ulysses de Villa, I could have dealt with. Craig Noon. Yeah, good quality players that have done it a long time. Lockie Rose. Like, come on, man. He's just a haircut and speed.
That's practically it. That's all Lockie Rose is, and the bullpen love him for it. But we move on. That's enough disappointing for Jamie. We move on to the Sunday fixtures, which saw Melbourne victory. 3 defeat, Brisbane Roar 0. Melbourne Victory 2-2.
Yeah, Pop has obviously got him playing well. This was one of the games I watched because I just wanted to see. You see the scoreline and you think, okay, was this Melbourne Victory a class above, or was it Brisbane Roar being bad, or was it just, and this is what it was, Melbourne Victory took their chances. Own goal, 2 really good finishes. Brisbane Roar had their chances, just didn't take theirs. But this was a well-coached team that executed when they had the clear-cut chances and deserved the win. Not taking it, they're going to be really good this year, but they didn't blow Brisbane off the park. Scoreline aside, Brisbane were in this game. It was just 3 really good chances. Well, 2 really, and they took them. So credit to Melbourne Victory, but they look really good. Popper's got them fired.
Yep, and that pains me.
Yep.
Pains me.
And Berlante playing for Melbourne Victory is just a stake in the heart.
No,
fuck that Judas prick.
The things I would do to have Tony Popovich back at the Wanderers right now.
I would love to have him at Sydney FC right now.
You shut your mouth. He's not yours.
I really wanted Ivanovic to score a goal against them. I'm like, the ex-Sydney boy scoring against the scum would have been great, but, you know, hit the post.
Yep,
like indeed. I said, they had their chances.
They did. It was, yeah, as you said, it wasn't really much of a blowout. The scoreline aside, 3-0 victory to Melbourne. Victory. Shocked. But then we move on to the final game of this week's A-League men's fixtures. So Western Sydney Wanderers at home 2 versus Western Sydney Wanderers B 2. Because they are our feeder club, Newcastle Jets.
They really are. Liverpool Southampton situation.
It's ridiculous. The worst part is they were better than us.
Yeah. There were patches where you guys should have probably scored two goals really quickly and just blown them away. But yeah, they held on and they looked really good. Really good chances. But your goalkeeper, man, he almost saved a penalty.
Well, he almost saved the penalty, and that reaction where he almost kept them out for Bufal's goal was.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But like, yeah, Tommy Myas is good.
I thought Margus should have been the way you went, but man, you made the right call putting him in.
Tommy Myers is a very good goalkeeper. Yeah. The penalty early on to, I'm going to butcher his name so Jamie Brown can say.
Mikolatze, who should have scored last week.
Should have, but Bufal doing bits to earn that penalty. Rhys Williams, very angry man for giving away the penalty.
Oh, yeah. Straight away.
Yeah. As soon as he tackled him, he just punched the ground because he goes, that's fucking stupid.
Yep. He's better than that.
He got baited into it. I don't blame him too much, but we're all behind him here at the RBB. Myas almost saving the penalty, and then Bernie Abini before the stroke of halftime with unleashing an unreal finish into the bottom corner.
I mean, spicy, a little bit like Lockie Rose's goal, but you know, fuck,
jolly on the spot, but yeah. Unleashed.
And at least he didn't have to kick it through 13 players, so there was less luck. He just had to get it on target, and boy.
And then Tomer Hamed opening his account for the Western Sydney Wanderers with some great defensive play before winning the ball back and then slotting home before, Olivier Boumal scoring again, or scoring a goal to equal up to all. We had our chances. We definitely had our chances.
Yeah. If I'm a Jets fan, I'm pretty happy right now. You know, we probably should have drawn with the Mariners last week in the derby. You hit the post a couple of times and you've taken it to one of the better squads in the league and could have come away with a win. Good to get lucky to get a draw, get that point on the thing. But I think we're missing the biggest talking point out of this game. Jack Rodwell. Oh boy.
He's going to be so good.
Oh my God.
He's going to be so good.
Every time he touched the ball, jeez.
He looks so good against Sydney FC last week for 5 minutes. He's come on half hour of play this week. And oh my God, every time he touched the ball, we thought something was
going to
happen.
That dribble through the middle of their defense right in the 18-yard box should have been a goal, but I questioned that signing. I thought he was very average at Sheffield United. He didn't get a game. He didn't get much time at Sunderland, but he is a good player. He's showing why he went to City, like from Everton, and played for England. Like, he's a fucking good player. So
quality.
And I hate saying that because he's going to make you guys good.
Every time he touches the ball, I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, we're going to score here. It just looks so good. Yeah, that little dribble through the middle of beating three players just...
Made him look like Sunday League kid players.
It's no... Neymar-esque, Alex sent maximum like skills here, skills there to beat players. He just ran straight.
Yeah, just body feints and rolls. Like, that's all it is.
It just made him look silly. And then, it absolutely deserved a finish, but Jack Duncan made himself big. It's a long season, and he's going to produce some stuff for us this year. Yeah. But look, we go away with a point. Disappointing, but points are points. We're still on more than Sydney FC
is.
You're
undefeated.
So we take that away.
Fuck you, Lockie Rose.
Fuck you, Lockie Rose. But look... That's enough for the fixtures. We've mentioned a few things here, and it's time for some hot topics. What's the hot topic to start with this week, Jamie Brown?
So I think we should start. We'll do Aussies abroad just to get it kind of out of the way because not a lot's happening, but the Matildas, technically not abroad, but it is the national team.
So we'll talk about the Matildas first.
Yeah, absolutely beaten down by the US national team, and really it's a B squad for them, so that was kind of disappointing. It renews my lack of faith in the gaffer, Gustafsson. We are a better team than what they put out, what they showed on Saturday afternoon. That was kind of really hard to take because I have high hopes for the Matildas in the World Cup in 2023, and with this guy in charge, they are getting torn down as we speak.
They are. I will start with a positive, though. Well done to the Sydney faithful, producing a record crowd for a Matildas home game, 36,109. And I will take credit because I was there. It was a relatively good atmosphere. I was questioning it why it was at ANZ or Olympic Park, as they call it. Like, 36,000. It's a very good crowd for a Matildas game, but because Olympic Park is so big, it felt empty.
If that's at Bankwest, that atmosphere is unmatchable.
It's a sellout, but it's a definite sellout at Bankwest, but you don't break the record. It's kind of a
six to one half.
Break the record and like try and get as many people in there as possible. The weather wasn't great as well. I'll give it that. Like weather was pretty ordinary.
Not gonna lie, but it kind of deterred me, if I'm being honest.
But like 36,000 in an 85,000 seat stadium is
just doesn't look great, you know.
It doesn't look great, but
36,000
in a 30,000 seat stadium is
well, the new Sydney Football Stadium. That 36,000 will look amazing. So
yeah, but that's not going to be ready for another
2 years. Year and a bit. But yeah, no, great crowd. They deserve to be playing in front of massive crowds. They didn't deserve to put out a performance like that. But I don't blame the girls. We have the best players in some of the best players in women's football in the world, and one of the best players in the world, men's and women's, in Sam Kerr. The fact that we lose 3-0 and concede within, 30-something seconds, something like 28. 28 seconds. Against, yes, the US are good, but they're not the US of 5-6 years ago, is unacceptable from a coach that just didn't have that team ready. And I was just starting to like him. I thought he did really good at the World Cup, at the Olympics, sorry. But this is embarrassing, and he needs to get a win. He needs to win against the Matildas, against the US in Newcastle on Tuesday. Tonight.
It is tonight, yeah.
Otherwise, I'm not going to be impressed. Like he's on the hot seat for me.
Looking good though. Newcastle have sold record number of tickets for any Matildas game or even just football in general. So that's going to be a great crowd up there at McDonald Jones Stadium in Newcastle tonight.
Should be good weather too. By the look of it, a bit cloudy, but I don't think there's any rain predicted up there for today. So
yeah, so
get
be
out
good.
There if you're but in Newcastle.
Yeah, absolutely. Get around it. But yeah, disappointing 3-0 loss for the Matildas. There's not really much else we can say about it.
Nah.
Score goals, please.
Yeah, please just get a goal. This isn't a good US team, but pressure's on the coach, man.
Absolutely. But we move on. Aussies abroad this time to the ones that are actually abroad. Martin Boyle.
Yeah, we recorded the show last week, and then both of us about an hour later sent the same picture to each other. Martin Boyle, hat-trick in the Scottish Cup semi-final against Rangers in the first half. Sorry we missed it, but hey, mad effort for Socceroos leading the line, man, and followed it up by weekend action by getting a red card. So
that's the Scottish in him, not the Australian.
Yep,
in him is scoring goals. Yeah, Scottish in him is getting killed.
Yep.
And the worst part, you know, the best part, he got sent off after the game.
That's you know what?
It's outstanding, isn't it?
That's okay. It means he didn't hurt his team. You know, he'll hurt him in the next game.
They had already lost.
Yeah.
But then he got sent off.
But, you know, it hurts him in the next game because he won't be there. But he scored 3 goals to get him to a Scottish Cup final, which in Scotland, if you don't know, is usually between Rangers and Celtic. They beat the shit out of Rangers 3-0, although it was the first game since Steven Gerrard left the club, their manager. But, I mean, they just dominated him, and they'll play Celtic in the Cup final.
Hibernian in a Scottish Cup final led by Martin Boyle against Ange Postecoglou's Celtic. This is going to be a cracking game for Australians.
It's an advertisement for good Australian players and managers.
And good Australian coaches,
The fact that Ange is doing exactly what he's doing is great for coaches coming out of Australia. Like, it says that we can do it. We understand the game. We're not just this rugby-loving nation. We love football. We understand football. And everything he does with Celtic, and it's been a great season. There was a down patch for a couple of weeks, but everything he's done so far, the fans obviously love him. He's turned them around. They're in a Scottish Cup final. They're going to win the league. Like, that is inevitable.
The fans are, like, they love Ange.
Oh, yeah.
They really do love Ange.
They really, yeah. And Scottish football is not entertaining most of the time, but he is making them play like an entertaining football side. And what more can you ask for? Maybe Europe's not going as well for him, but, you know, they wanted to win the league this year because their bitter rivals Rangers took it away from them last year. When they were
undefeated,
and they were looking at 10 in a row, so that really hurt them. They've done the right thing in putting Ange in charge, and they love him over there. The commentators love him, the fans love him, the players love playing for him. Martin Boyle versus Tommy Rogic with Ange in his corner. This is a wrestling match setup.
This is going to be an outstanding final. So we will let you know when it is. We'll talk about it here on the Circle and Rectangle Show eventually. But look, we move on to some more hot topics. The one that I think even made news in the UK. Daniel Sturridge not playing for Perth Glory away, and Tony Sage throwing the man under the bus saying he's not used to 4-hour travel for a game. Look, the man's smart enough to know what he's in for when he signs for one of the world's most isolated football clubs.
Yep.
I don't think it was the 4-hour flight.
No, and you raised it to me that the the gaffer sort of said, look, yeah, this was our plan. We played him last week, sell out crowd, introduce him to the fans since they're probably not going to see him for a long time, if ever, this season. And Piñata, the CEO, loved Tony Piñata, backed him up as well, saying, look, this was always the plan. Ease him into it. He's just like everyone else. When he's ready to play, he will play. So
you have
Sage
to remember,
completely fucking railroaded him.
Really throwing him under the bus. But you have to remember, 5 days before the A-League season kicked off, the bloke was still in quarantine.
Yep. 6 days
he's
after.
2 weeks of quarantine. So, yeah, 4 days he's had with the team to get prepared. Yeah, they threw him on for 10 minutes at the end to give him to the crowd, sell out crowd in Perth. But, yeah, bloke's still not up to match fitness.
Yeah. I mean, look, Jack Rodwell's is in the same situation. He's not playing full games yet. But, I mean,
Jack Rodwell's a good footballer.
When he does, he looks fucking good. Yeah, but, yeah, yeah. Sturridge will get there. Yeah. I mean, he only just had a haircut, guys. Give him a break, all right? But he'll get there.
But yeah, Tony Sage, silly.
Oh, my God. Just imagine, I want to see that text exchange on the WhatsApp group. It's like, are you serious, man? Like,
bruv.
What are you doing to me, man? Because, yeah, he was mocked over in the UK.
The fact that it made English headlines is ridiculous.
Former Liverpool and England striker refuses to play game because of a 4-hour flight. Like, dude, Sage, man. God damn it. But credit to the coach and the CEO coming out and saying, no, this is the plan.
Like, I'll tell you what, Daniel, don't worry, mate. You don't have to do any more 4-hour flights for at least 8 weeks. Yeah. Max is like 2.5. You'll be fine.
And I'm pretty sure it'll be for longer than 8 weeks too. This Omicron Percy I-8 variant.
As soon as I said Omicron, that's the only thing I was thinking. Yeah. I am Lur from Omicron Percy I-8.
How did we let Lur into the country? God damn
Lur.
It.
If this is not nicknamed the Lur variant, I'm very disappointed.
But yeah, I don't think Perth's playing at home this year. Again,
not a chance. No.
I hope Sturridge re-signs for a second season so the fans can actually see him. But yeah, otherwise, enjoy watching it on TV, guys.
Brad Jones, work your magic. Get the man to stay.
Yeah. Which, I mean, if he enjoys playing down here, it's probably not a hard thing. If he does well and he loves playing here, it's easy to, hey, let's do another season. It's how we kept Ninkovic around. So, you know, people
love
here.
The thing is, the Perth is also a lifestyle, and I think it would fit like really well into Daniel Sturridge.
I don't know. I feel like he'd be more suited at like Melbourne. Shit weather all the fucking time.
Don't say that. Popovich is probably licking his
lips. No, Western United. That's where he would suit really well. Go there.
They don't have a home.
Yeah. And he's a journeyman, so he's used to traveling around different grounds. So
He is. Anyway, Daniel Sturridge, we still love you.
Yeah. Well, did I ever love him? But no, fucking railroaded. Shouldn't have been done. Embarrassed him.
Tony Sage, silly.
Yeah, what are you doing?
We move on. Some more hot topics. VAR, WTF.
Yeah.
What are you doing, VAR?
Kind of two instant. Was it only the two instant? Yeah, the two penalties were pretty clear cut, but the Western United goal. My roommates who don't care at all about football could tell you, oh, that's gone over the line. It was about an inch and a half. But, we pay all this money to have something that doesn't really work. And I know, Jared, you've got some things to say about VAR with another incident to involve your Wanderers, but that was, for me, the clear-cut one. I mean, what are we doing? That's clearly... When
it's clearly out.
The ball went in and I was like, where's the flag? Where's the whistle? Why are they still celebrating? What's going on here? Why aren't we checking? Why is this still a goal? Like, as much as West United deserved the win, they didn't deserve that goal. Like, that was not a goal. But hey.
Perth didn't deserve to win.
But they
didn't deserve to lose like that.
Yeah, they deserve to lose legitimately, like Diamante chipping Brad Jones from 40 yards. Not, a goal that wasn't a goal, but...
Not with Connor Payne whipping a ball in that's already out.
We said it. We jinxed it. Last week, we said we had a really good week with the referees. I knew something was going to happen, and it happened twice. So it's all our fault.
Yeah, sorry, guys. But no, you know what? Jack Duncan, you're a fucking grub. And I, like... Look, you got the foul, and as a goalkeeper, I like being protected, but an aerial contest should be that, a contest. If it's out in the middle of the field and two players go out for a header and like they clash into each other, it's fine.
It's a contest.
If a goalkeeper goes up to claim a ball and a bloke goes up to head it and he gets touched, it's a goalkeeper foul. Okay, whatever. But I tell you what you do not do. You do not turn around, and punch the bloke. And VAR, have a look at it. I don't care how shit he hit him. I don't care if it was a slight push. He had a closed fist and threw it at Tomer Hemed. Send the man off.
There was intent, so...
Send him off.
The only thing I look at is I'm pretty sure in the booth, they've got the... Did a person punch a player? Yes. No. And then underneath that, yes. Was it a Wanderer? yes, no decision, no red card. I think that's the way they look at it in the VAR.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
But like, it was, yeah, whatever. The game had already been gone. Like, it was at the end of the 4 minutes of added time. But I don't care. Like, you do not get up and punch a bloke.
Yeah, it's not football. We're a little bit more class than that. You know, even rugby league doesn't allow that now. That's a Neanderthal sport. So
that's the thing. I don't care how crappy he hit him. I don't care if he missed it. He threw a closed fist at him.
He tried to hit him. That's the thing. Like, there was intent there to hit. So yeah,
send him off.
Yeah, not a good. We just even if there's a good week, we just can't praise the refs. We just can't.
Ben Abraham sorted out.
Name it and shame it right now.
I will. Because it was pretty ordinary during the game, and then after the game, he fucking copped it.
Why don't they do press conferences either? No, we don't have time to do that type of shit.
No, we don't have time to get into that.
But
I'm already angry enough, and I'm going to fucking keep going.
Why don't they?
There's got to be an investigation.
Yeah, where's Jeff Toovey? Why isn't he calling for this? For those who don't know Jeff Toovey, he's some rugby league legend or something. Last topic I want to get into, you might not really care about this, but we touched on it a little bit. Benny wrote a blog about Steve Corica and the pressure that he's under at Sydney FC.
And I'll tell you what, I actually read it and I agree with the man.
Yeah.
The bloke that follows Sydney FC member, go check out the blog. He does make up some very valid points.
Yep.
And it's something that both me and my brother were talking about and why it's funny to watch Sydney FC struggle at the moment. Is it a slow start? Maybe. Is it because they're old? Probably.
And is it because they haven't changed their tactics since he took over 3 years ago? And clubs now know how we play and know how to stop
4-4-2.
Us. Yeah, it's ridiculous. We have Newcastle, then Mariners the next 2 weeks. If we don't win one of those games, I think he's got to go. Alan Stajcic is currently the Philippines men's international coach.
Stop it. Stop it. You're not getting Stajcic.
It doesn't mean shit. You can take him out of that international job. He's probably got it in his contract. If a club team comes after me, I can take that job. So do it soon because I don't want to be 10 weeks into the season and we're looking like we're not going to make the finals and then you make the change because it is too late then. He doesn't win one of these next two games. He has to go. Club legend, yes. Good manager that he is not. He is a John Aloisi. He inherited a really good squad from Graham Arnold, what he built. That squad is now 4 years older and it is not getting younger. Some moves that make it younger. Connor O'Toole, Cam Sober coming in, but
Max Burgess,
yep, the better players.
You've got Paddy Wood on the bench. You've got some good young players on the bench, but your starting lineup, your front three have an average age of 35. Yeah.
The key players are old. Ninkovic, old. Lafondra, old. Babarusis, old.
Redmayne, old.
Old. Redmayne, old. We have a good goalkeeper coming through in Heward Bell. I got to say that. He is a good quality keeper, but Wilkinson, old. We lost McGowan, the better McGowan, and we didn't replace him with anyone near as good. Although
The better McGowan is a very, very strong fact.
Yeah. But
very strong fact.
Donaghy's going to come into that team. Obviously, going to be better for the defense, but I am going into this
even
season.
Even Ryan Grant looks off the pace.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I am going to say this as well. It's because he doesn't have the mullet.
He is Samson.
He was God with the mullet. As soon as he shaved it off, he was garbage. And we said it last season, and I'm saying it still, bring back the mullet.
He did it for a good cause, but, you know, he did it for charity. Raised a lot
of money.
I know
he did it for a good cause, but Flokes just gotten rid of all his footballing ability.
Yeah, yeah, he shaved it all off, which is crazy. I really want to see Connor O'Toole maybe get a game, see what he can do maybe in that attacking left midfield role. Just see. We've got to do something. Like, we looked good against MacArthur, but we don't score goals. Like, what?
As the game against the actual Sydney Derby against the Western Sydney Wanderers in round one, my ass made three saves. You guys had three really good chances, and we gave you all three chances.
And
you didn't create your own. Yeah, Cam Sover looked really good on that ride against Traore. He fucking made him look like a school kid. But it didn't create the chances. Against MacArthur, you started creating chances, but you weren't finishing chances.
Yeah.
MacArthur had two chances. They scored one.
Yeah. If I'm at training this week, all I'm telling them is let's go wide, because this is what we do. We go wide, we bring the ball into the middle, and we try finish. Why are we crossing it to Adam Lafondra, who's like 5'5"? Like, yeah, if Bobo's up there, you kind of go with it. He's a little bit off the pace. But what if we've got Lafondra and Barbarousis and players like that, why aren't we playing it in behind their defense and getting their speed to, they're two giant defenders for MacArthur. Why aren't you putting Barbarousis in behind, putting Trent? To be fair, Trent Bahadja, they did try to play him in behind, but the ball was too wide. It needs to be narrow. It needs to be inside that channel, getting him in behind. I don't want to tell Steve Corica how to do his job because, you know, I am a better manager than him. But tactically, we're just trying to do that cross it in thing when we don't have that. Our best striker is Adam Lafondra. He is not a header of the ball. He is not Billy Sharp. You know, he is a get the ball in the box, beat a player, finish. That sort of guy. Like, not a crossing header guy. Like, I don't know. I'm just really, I am at the point now where I think Benny's right. We may struggle to make... We'll probably make the finals. I think we're one of the better... We're a top six side, but we don't have a shot.
I don't think you're a top three side anymore. I think you might scrape into the six. Yep. But as we have also said, we are only two rounds in the league men's season.
But we haven't scored a goal. We are known for scoring goals. Just that's what Sydney FC does. And we haven't scored one in 180 minutes now, and the clock is ticking. If we do not beat Newcastle this week...
And if I am being honest, you did also have an FFA Cup fixture against Sydney Olympic.
Yeah.
Where if Sydney Olympic also finished their season just now instead of 5 months ago, you probably would have lost.
Yeah, come back winning that game. So, yeah, yet again, unimpressive. And we lost one of our better players in the squad for the season in that game. So, yeah, it's going to be a rough year for Sydney FC fans. At this point, I know two games in, it's hard to make judgments, but I wasn't the back end of last season, we looked really bad. Lucky to make the final. Really weren't in that game. And, you know, this season we've started really badly. I think we'll be lucky to make the final. I think we will, but we'll be lucky. I picked us to finish third. That was definitely an overreach right now. I think you've had us coming second, and I think we both can agree that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I think, Melbourne's victory is probably... Look, as I said, two rounds in, we're not going to change anything. It is what it is. While we are talking about MacArthur FC as well, and you did mention they've got two giant centre-backs, they have also just brought in another.
Why?
Former Watford player Adrian Mariupa has also joined MacArthur FC.
I mean, I thought their defense was pretty solid. Like,
I think it's only getting better.
Yeah, I guess you're looking for depth, but you know, MacArthur's got a lot of other issues not on the field. I still can't say they look good, but you know, they looked okay. But we were so much the better team. That's the worst thing. Corica, fix it.
Yep, very good. But yeah, MacArthur next week at home in Penrith. He's going to be fun.
the Western United of New South Wales.
let's do a quick prediction of round three fixtures before we get into our big W League preview. And I say big, it's not going to be as big as the men's, mainly because a lot of it's the same.
Yeah.
The kits are the same, so we don't have to do that again.
We'll do our ladder prediction.
We will do a ladder. We will do our golden boot. Signings are all over the shop because there has been a brand new club coming in Wellington Phoenix. So we might touch on a few here and there, but we'll get into the golden boot and predictions. But I'll tell you what, round three of the Isuzu Ute A-League men's fixtures kicks off Friday. Wellington Phoenix at home to the Western Sydney Wanderers. I can only see this going one way, draw.
Yep. As soon as you said it, I'm like, 2-0 draw. That's the thing that came to my mind. Another 2-0 draw. Gary Hooper to score.
We do have some fun fixtures against Wellington Phoenix.
We went to one last year. That was an entertaining game. So
yeah, and I went to another, and it was a very entertaining game where we win 4-3, come back every time. But Tomer Hamed against his former club should be good. I reckon he will get on the score sheet, and I reckon he will celebrate because he's a grub, when that's why he fits into the Western Sydney.
It's not that. You know, he played with them for a season. He can celebrate. Like, same with you, if Ulysses Davila had scored, he can celebrate. It was a season. It's not like you were there for 12 years and then they didn't want you. Like, he was there for a season. Celebrate, Tomer, if you score. Go to the RBB. Get them to do criminal things, you know? Strike Force Raptor, let's get him there. But, like, yeah, he deserves to celebrate. It wouldn't be a grub move. He was there for you can't celebrate because he played for him. It was a season, man. Like, it'll be good to see. And Ulysses Davila couldn't score against his old club, so can Tomer Hamed. I think it will be the week Petratos gets a goal, but...
Yeah, I hope so. But, that's the Friday night fixture. Saturday night kicks off with the early fixture, Brisbane Roar versus Adelaide United, and I can only see this going one way, Adelaide United 2-0.
Adelaide United. 3-1. Right, no, 3-0. 3-0. 3-0.
3-0?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to back Brisbane there, but no.
No, Adelaide.
Going Adelaide. Yep. Lovely stuff. And then we kick off the double headers. Melbourne City versus Western United. One of the Melbourne inconveniences.
Yep. Another Melbourne inconvenience. Back to
The actual Melbourne inconvenience. Yep. I can only see this going one way. Melbourne City.
Yeah, I don't know about the score, but Melbourne City's winning it.
I think it'll only be like 2-1.
Yeah, I think, Western United could score a goal. 2-1's a good score, I think. Yeah, McLaren will probably 2-1. Get another one. Lecky might get his first, but 2-1.
But then the big game for you, at least, Sydney FC at home to the Newcastle Jets. And with the way Arthur Pappas has the team playing and the way Steve Corica has the team playing, I think Newcastle will get the bickies.
Ooh, well, that will be very, very bad. The Cove... is not against Corica right now, but if we lose this game at home, back-to-back losses at home, there may be some chance for Corica out. I don't think we'll lose. I have to be confident going into every game against Newcastle. We generally can beat them down. We will win this one 2-0. Arthur Pappas, yes, he's a good coach, but we have too much class. It will show eventually. surely we don't go 3 weeks in a row without scoring a goal.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say you will, because Newcastle Jets will win 1-0.
Oh, man, that will be even worse. Yeah, Sydney FC 2-0.
And as, yeah, no, anyways, we move on to the Sunday fixtures, wrapping up the round three of the Isuzu Ute A-League men's action, seeing MacArthur FC at home in Penrith to the Central Coast Mariners. And 1-1 draw.
Yeah, I want to get the Mariners a win, but MacArthur are good. I think 1-1 draw is a fair result. Both teams have enough quality to score, as long as it's not Marcus Urena. Yeah, 1-1 draw.
1-1 draw.
Let's see Farrell score again. That'd be nice.
What I don't want to see is Lockie Rowe score. So can we make not make it 3-from-3, please, Nick? Yeah. Sort your team out.
Nick, just make sure that he doesn't get any lucky bounces of the ball. That's all he scores from.
And then the last game of the round three fixtures sees Melbourne Victory play host to Perth Glory. And I can only see this going one way.
Yep. 3-0 Melbourne Victory.
Yep.
This could be an impressive performance, but it may not be.
This will be an impressive performance, but I do think Perth Glory will score a goal. I'm going to say 3-1.
Do you want to say Daniel Sturridge will score that goal?
Or, no, I want to say Fornaroli.
Fornaroli, yeah, that's what I was thinking. But yeah, I think, Melbourne Victory looking really good. And, you know, they're only going to get better as the season wears on. Melbourne Victory 3-0 for me.
And that wraps up the men's section of the Circling Rectangle Show. But we'll move into our A-League women's preview, which kicks off this Friday night with the Wellington Phoenix first ever game in the W League playing at home to Western Sydney Wanderers. But I tell you what, this Wellington Phoenix side is going to be good. It's not going to be a pushover, I reckon.
Yeah, I was excited to see that they brought in Perth Glory goalkeeper Lily Oldfield as their goalkeeper. She was probably the best player they had last year. And I think it was a great signing. And yeah, they looked good against Sydney FC. That's probably the benchmark for the competition this year, them and Melbourne Victory, and they looked really good. So they got to hit the ground running. They got to get that team winning, get fans behind them, which I think they will. I think the Wellington Phoenix fans seem to be embracing them. It's going to be good. Really excited to see a new team come in.
Absolutely it is. And then next season, obviously, the two new teams coming in with Western United and MacArthur FC.
Yep.
So that pretty much gives everyone a team except, or is that too many? Who else doesn't have a team?
The Mariners are coming in. Newcastle's going. That will be more teams in the A-League.
Sorry, Mariners and Western United come in next year. MacArthur the year after.
That's right. Yeah, MacArthur, which should just be Canberra United. Let's be honest. Correct. But, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the W Leagues. Yeah.
We are talking about women's. A-League women's. A-League women's.
I'll get used to it.
I think it is still the Westfield A-League women's.
I don't have to worry about fucking that up.
Maybe you probably will fuck it up. To be fair.
Yeah, let's be honest.
But look, we're going to go in. We'll start off with our fixtures prediction for this A-League women's season. And as I said, kicking off the Friday night, seeing Wellington Phoenix play their first game against Western Sydney Wanderers. I hope the Wanderers girls get up, but I would like to see Wellington come out of the blocks firing. I'm going to say a draw.
I think the Wanderers will win this one 2-1. You guys are a really good squad. Good young players that have proved themselves at this level. Yeah, you lost Sarah Hunter, which was probably one of your bright sparks, but I still think your squad's pretty good. And yeah, I think 2-1 for you guys.
Thank you.
Sorry,
Wellington. But then the simultaneous kickoff on Friday night as well sees Canberra United play Melbourne City. And I can only see this going one way as well. Canberra getting up.
Yeah, Melbourne City weren't a good team last year. Canberra were pretty good. They've lost some key players, but Paige Setchell's gone to Sydney FC. Jessica Nash also to Sydney FC, but you know, they still look like a really good team. And, Canberra 1-0, I think I'll go.
Canberra 1-0? I've gone Canberra 2-0. I think that'd be probably a decent scoreline for them. But I can only see this kicking off the Saturday fixtures. I can only see the champions coming away with this, because they will be champions this year. Sydney FC versus Newcastle Jets, and it's going to be a blowout.
Yeah, Newcastle weren't good last year. They're still not good this year. Sydney FC have loaded up big time with their squad. Yeah, I think Sydney FC wins this one pretty easily. Probably 3 or 4 goals will be scored for Sydney FC. So,
And defensively, I've got them winning 3-0.
I'm going to go 4 because I want to see goals.
Fair enough. You do like goals. But then Saturday at 10:05 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, Perth Glory play Brisbane Roar. This could be a very entertaining game.
Yeah, two teams that, let's be honest, aren't like the best, but that usually makes the best games. So I'm interested to see what Perth can do. They've got some pretty good players coming in. Brisbane, they lost Gelnick, they lost Yalop. They still have good players, but I I think Perth will win this one. I think Perth aren't going to be as bad as they were last year coming last with the wooden spoon. I think they will definitely they'll win this one. 2-1. 2-1. Brisbane will score. They got too many options to not score.
I've gone 3-2.
Oh, I would love that shit.
I've gone 3-2.
I'd be all in on the goals for that one.
Yeah, I think, 3-2 Perth Glory. I think Perth Glory will win, and there will be goals scored. This will be a very entertaining game, but we wrap up the fixtures with defending champions Melbourne Victory playing Adelaide United on Sunday. Again, I can only see this going one way, Melbourne Victory.
I don't know, man. Adelaide aren't a bad team. I think, you know, with the likes of Chelsea Dorber coming back, they pretty much the same squad as last year. They were good last year. Melbourne Victory, I mean, defending champions, very good squad all the way around. They've lost Lisa Devanna, which I think is, to be honest, a positive for them.
Before we mention, Lisa Devanna has gone to Perth, Perth as well.
Yeah, so she might get a game there. But yeah, man, I'm not as confident in Melbourne Victory to win this one. I think this will be a 1-1 draw or 2-2 draw. I'll go 2-2 draw.
Yeah, 2-2. I'm going 2-1 Melbourne Victory.
Yeah, this is a it's tough. If anyone's going to win, I think it'll be Melbourne Victory. But man, Adelaide can get good results when they need it. Like they beat Sydney FC last year, and Sydney FC were, you know, runners up in the grand final and looked like they were going to run away with it early on in that year. So
that is very true, very true. But look, that's the wrap up for the first A-League women's fixtures for this year. And Jamie and I have gone through the 10 teams in A-League A-League women's.
It's going to be hard. What are they doing?
It's always been the W League.
Just the
please.
Let's just go with the W League, man.
No, it's the A-League Women's, A-League Men's, and A-League Youth, all right? So the A-League Women's final table.
We're going to have to do the Youth as well.
We're not going to do the Youth.
Okay.
Youth can suck it.
Because I like the W League. I watch a lot of their games. I like going to their games as well, especially going out A-League to Wanderers Football Park.
A-League Women's.
I'll get used to it.
We apologize. We're going to fuck it up a lot.
Yeah, we mean no disrespect. You know, we've just been used to this for like, 15 years now? It's been an A-League and a W-League, so give us time.
It'll happen. It'll happen.
Be gentle.
But the A-League Women's final table, and I'm pretty sure we actually had almost the exact same table.
I think we got the same top six, I think. We
definitely have the same top six. And it was just like 7 and 8 were swapped around. Yeah. Other than that, I'm pretty sure it's the exact same team.
Are we going bottom to top? Team. I think we should.
Bottom to top. Yeah. Yep. Jamie Brown, lead the way.
So coming last for me is going to be the Newcastle Jets.
Correct. Correct.
In ninth, I've got Melbourne City. I have seen nothing about them making any major moves to make me think otherwise. Mm-hmm. In eighth, I've got Brisbane.
I've got Perth.
And in seventh, I've got Perth.
In seventh, I've got Brisbane.
And that's where we differ.
There we go. That is the rest, silly boy, you've got it wrong.
The rest of the way, we are exactly the same.
Exactly
which
the same.
Is kind of the way we were for the A-League, except for at the top. But in sixth, I've got Wellington Phoenix. I think they're going to have a good first season.
I think they're going to have a good, make finals in their first season.
In fifth, this was tough between the next two teams, but I think the Wanderers will come fifth. Like, you got a good squad, but I think my fourth place team is slightly better.
You know, I agree. Fifth is good.
In fourth, I have Canberra.
Yep.
I think we both have a soft spot for Canberra. Should be in the A-League men's.
Correct.
Whew, got it right then. Third, I have Adelaide.
Yep.
Second, I've got Melbourne Victory.
Yep.
And top, I really think Sydney FC will run away with it this year.
This time they will run away with it. No, like I don't think there will be a competition. They will go through undefeated, probably not even dropping points. It's such a good squad. They have absolutely loaded up. And I'll tell you what, I think it's a great idea because, as we've mentioned very much earlier on in this show, they're looking at making a club's championship, which means both points combined from the men's and women's to create one all-powerful club for the A-League, and that's what Sydney are going for. They're going to stack their women's side because their men's are doing shit.
Yeah, if the men's can just make the playoffs and the women's completely dominate the W-League, we might have a chance at actually still winning the club championship, but for Sydney FC fans, it's going to be good. You're going to have a team to watch before the men's. Arguably, I think they should be playing after the men's because they should be the premier appearance.
Team.
Yeah, for Sydney FC this year. I love the men's squad. Don't get me wrong. It's a great squad. Just tactically, we just don't have a manager that can deliver it. But Ante Juric, we saw what he did against Sydney FC in the FFA Cup. He is the women's coach. He is a tactical wonder. He is going to turn this team, not turn them around because they were really good last year. Unlucky to lose in the way they did, but this is Sydney FC's W League.
This is their season to lose.
Yes,
but yeah, like that's pretty much it. They're going to run away with it. They're not going to drop points. Sydney FC are going to dominate the A League Women's this season. And look, it's still going to be a great season for everyone else. If we just take them out of it, it's going to be a very competitive season.
Yeah, yeah. the rest of that top six for me would be really, it'll be really tight. Melbourne Victory probably the standout, but yeah, take Sydney FC out of it. It's a competitive season, but you can't take us out. We're there.
You shut your mouth. At least I'll be, I hate you so much.
At least I'll be seeing them lift one trophy this season.
But it's not the toilet bowl, it's the one that matters.
Yeah.
Anyways, but look, no, it's going to be a great W League season. Only 14 rounds this year, but that's the one thing that irks me. There is 10 teams. Yeah. Just add an extra four rounds.
Should be 18. Like, what are we doing? Like, some poor team's going to have to play Sydney FC twice, and some other poor team's going to get to play Newcastle twice. How is that fair?
Yeah.
But yeah, hey, they're working on it. You know, we're going to have more games next year with the extra teams, and when MacArthur comes in, hopefully as Canberra United by then, we're going to have a real good women's competition in this country, which is going to lure players to come and want to play here and be permanently based here. So.
And I think that was one thing. I'm going to bring this right back to Hot Topics, where obviously Matildas got thumped by the US women's national team. And that's one thing we're mentioning. Me and my brother were talking about. If you look at the women's team, all of them play in the US like national competition. Like they're all there. So if they've got a training camp, they're all there.
Yeah.
Where we've got, obviously, girls playing in the best league in the world in France and in England and in Norway and in Denmark and in Spain or whatever. Like, they're all over there. If we've got a training camp, they've got all come back. And that's where, the A-League Women's is going to be great. You make the A-League A-League Women's, the premier competition in Australia as well, the Matildas will obviously prosper.
Yeah, they will enjoy playing here. And if you make it a 21-22 game season, it is a proper season. So these players will stay here for most of the season. They won't go. They might go back home, like if you get international players for things like that, but they will make it. It's like, I will sign a four-year deal with Sydney FC because I want to play in this league. This is where I get tested. Mm-hmm. You know, we get good players. It's what the WSL in England has done. They've made it longer. They're getting US players coming over there to play there now. That's how competitive it is. We need to look at that model now. Women's football in England is taken off. Look at it. Look at how they do it. But yeah. And, you know, we have the best player in the world. I'd love to see her play in Australia year round. So I'd love to be able to
back
pay
again,
her
but,
to play here.
Indeed. But look, that's it for this week's episode of the Circling Rectangle Show. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week. Hopefully Matildas can get up on Victory tonight.
Yes.
And hopefully it's a great turnout at McDonald Jones Stadium. But look, I'm really looking forward to not only just A-League men's action this weekend, but the first round of the A-League women's. It's going to be great. And before we even sign off, we didn't even do our golden boot for the A-League women's.
Remy Simpson.
You shut up.
Hands down, Remy Simpson by 10 goals at least.
Most likely. But look, I've gone with an outlier. I'm going with Larissa Crummer for Brisbane Roar, mainly because Sydney FC have a lot of goal-scoring options.
Yep.
So do Canberra. Oh, yeah. So do Melbourne. So do Wanderers. Brisbane will not make the playoffs, but Larissa Crummer will be their outstanding goal scorer, and she will win.
It's a good strategy, you know.
You've heard it here first.
She'll score most of their goals. There's no Emily Gelnick, so they need it. But yeah, Remy Simpson was on fire last year. She scored 4 goals in a game. She got braces.
She'll score 40 in 14 games. It's fine.
Yeah, she's going to kill it.
Look, that's it for this week's episode. Join us next week after round 3 of the A-League men's and round 1 of the A-League women's. It's going to be an exciting weekend of football.
So much football.
Jamie Brown.
So much football.
So much football.
So many goals. Much. The W League's back, baby.
We didn't even do goal of the week.
Oh, shit. Oh, I mean,
we did it all.
Everyone knows. But play the
everyone
thing.
Knows.
Before we go out, we'll
before
play the
we
sounder.
Go, we'll end on this.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe we've mixed this. Thank you, Andy Harpo, Brendan Speed, whichever one you were. Oh, my goodness. How have we missed this? Andrew Naboo, goal of the week.
Oh, what a great goal. And he's done it again.
Another Travella outside of the foot.
Couldn't go to anyone else.
20 yards out. Crossed the goal. Perfect. Bins. Couldn't have done it any better. Sorry, Andrew Naboo. We didn't forget you.
Yeah.
We got you here.
Yeah, we your goal was amazing. But, you know, there was a lot we had to cover today. A lot of stuff. But
save the best till last, they always say.
We finish on a high.
Done. Yeah, we finish on the high. Jamie Brown, thanks for chatting. We'll see you next week.
See you next week, guys.
Catch us there. Thanks for tuning in for this week's episode of the Circle and Rectangle Show. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. We love hearing from you guys, so please hit us up on our socials, the Circle and Rectangle Show on both Facebook and Instagram. Drop us an email, cinrshow@gmail.com or @cinrshow on both TikTok and Twitter. And don't forget to check out fanbabblesports.com for the latest blogs and podcasts.